This is Vayera. Want to continue tonight talking about the first episode that's described in the parasha, the Malachim coming to Avram and sharing the Besorah, the good news that Sarah Imenu is going to have a child. And then to continue from there discussing the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the five cities of Sodom and the argument, quote-unquote, that Avraham Avinu has with the Ribbono Shel Olam about that decision to destroy those cities. And to preface both of those discussions, I want to reiterate and come back to something that we've mentioned before in previous Shiurim on the Svarno. The Svarno sees as one of his missions in interpreting the Chumash to shed as positive a light on the Avos and the Imahos as possible. Again, it's not the most difficult thing. The Avos and Imahos, everyone agrees, are extraordinary individuals. But whereas, again, as we pointed out before, even Gedolim like the Ramban will occasionally look at actions which are performed by the Avos and the Imahos, and they'll say, you know, this wasn't really 100% correct, and that wasn't really 100% correct, and this was a chait, this was a sin of some sort, that was a chait of some sort. The Svarno, in contrast, will always interpret the psukim in such a fashion that even something that seems on the surface to be questionable, when you look at it a little bit deeper, a little bit better, you see that there's a way to understand the actions of the Avos and the Imahos in a way that portrays them in a very positive light. So again, we talked about last week, for instance, Avraham Avinu's attempts to disguise Sarah when they come down to Mitzrayim. She's not really my wife, she's my sister. You know, so the Sfarno explains how that's justifiable, how it's understood, how it's understandable that he would do so under such circumstances. We have another such example of this phenomenon at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where the Malachim come and they tell Avraham Avinu, you know, your wife Sarah is going to have a child. And we learn in Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yudbeis, Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba Lemar, Sarah laughed internally saying, Acharei Velosi Hoysoli Edna, essentially after I'm already menopausal, is it possible that I'm going to go back to my youth and be able to have a child? Vadoni zoking. Furthermore, my husband is an old man. I'm an old woman. He's an old man. How on earth would this happen? Vayomer Hashem al Avram. Kodesh Baruch Hu comments to Avram Avinu and he says, Lomozet sochakosoro. Why is it that Sarah laughed? Lemor saying, Ha'af umnam eleid vani zokanti. How is it possible that I'll give birth? I'm an old woman. Is anything beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities? I'm going to come back to you in a year's time. Again, we spoke about that language last night. Hashem, according to the Svarno, says, in a year's time from now, there's going to be a bris, and I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be at the bris. My Shechina will be at the bris. The same way that Hashem's presence is at every bris. And you'll see, you know, the proof of the pudding is going to be that Sarah's going to have a boy. So right off the bat, Sarah's reaction can be interpreted as a lack of emunah, a lack of trust. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all, has just predicted that there's going to be a child. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to call Sarah Imenu on the carpet. Lomazet Sarah, how come? She's laughing and mocking this prediction that was made. And Sarah herself is embarrassed. Vatechachesh Sarah lemar lo tzochakti. Sarah denied the fact that she had laughed. She said, I did not laugh. Ki yoreah, she was afraid. Vayomer, and he said, we're not sure who he is, we'll see that in a little bit, lo ki tzochakt, not true, you did laugh. Right? So, you know, the portrayal of Sarah Yemenu in these couple of psukim can be understood in a very, very negative light. Avraham Avinu, when he's told of the fact that there's going to be a child born a year from now, believes in perfect faith, and Sarah Imenu's faith, her emunah, seems to be not up to what it should be. How do you understand this? So the Sfarno steps in over here, and he defends Sarah Imenu. And Pasuk Yibbeis Vatitzchak Sarah, he says, Shechashva Shahoyo Devar HaMalach Birkas Novi Bilvad. Let's remember, says the Sfarno, there's a major difference between when Avram Avinu was told that he's going to have a child, and when Sarah Imenu was told that she's going to have a child. The end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself appears to Avram and says, you're going to have a child through Sarah. Here, who is it who lets Sarah know that she's going to have a child? Three malachim. Now again, it's not clear that they're malachim. She does seem, you know, there does seem to be an understanding on the part of Avram and Sarah that these are certainly very, very esteemed individuals. But even if we assume that they were malachim, says the Sfarno, Sarah said to herself, when a malach tells you that you'll have a child in a year from now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a prediction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be the equivalent of a Navi or some other important person simply giving you a bracha. You know, again, in more modern day terms, you go to the Rebbe gives you a bracha that you'll have a child in a year. Okay, so that's significant, but to say that that's so significant as if you heard it from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that's a whole different story. Ke'inyan Elisha. And it's possible, says the Sfarno, that Sarah understood that what the Malach was saying, that she would have a child in a year, was kind of like when Elisha HaNavi, in the Haftarah, which we're going to read this Shabbos, blesses the Isha HaShunamis, that you'll have a child in a year from now. That's not a guarantee, it's not a prediction, it's a bracha that comes from a Navi, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But it's lo nevuah shluchas hakel yisbarach, but it's not the same as necessarily coming and representing Hashem. V'choshva shlo yusak zeb izikeinim bebirkas shum Navi. And Sarah Imenu said, look, I certainly appreciate that a Navi can give a bracha, that a Malach can give a bracha, I appreciate all of that, but there are limits. Even a Navi, even the biggest Rebbe in the world, but, you know, for someone who's not physically capable of having children, how is that bracha supposed to work? It's one thing if you say, you know, I haven't had children, I'm hoping to have children, but if you're not physically capable of having children, so what kind of bracha is that? It's like giving somebody a bracha that they should all of a sudden grow wings and fly to the moon. It's a bracha that's outside of the realm of possibility. Ki omnam lahoshiv habachrus achar hazikna harehu kitchias hamesim. Sarah said to herself, for somebody like me, who's an old woman, to all of a sudden revert to the ability to have children, it's like tchias hamesim, it's like the resurrection of the dead. I mean, you're asking for something that shaloti azulasi b'mitzvah sakel protis, o b'tfilas maseges chein mi'ito. The only way to get such an incredible reversal of nature is in one of two ways. It's very interesting to see how the Sfarno lists the two ways. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a direct command that nature should be reversed. In other words, says Sarah Imenu, I certainly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make a barren woman have children. I believe that. But I didn't think that's what this is. I thought the Malach was just giving me a bracha, a wish, a blessing that something should come true. This seems to be beyond the realm of brachos. Brachos can't help for something that's so unnatural like this. Or, says the Sfarno, tfila maseges chein meito. It's very interesting how he adds that last phrase. There's another possible way in which a person can get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change nature, to bring about a result which is naturally impossible at present. And that's through tefillah, which finds favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a fascinating idea that the Sfarno is writing here in a few words. A bracha from an Adam Gadol, a bracha from a great person, can't necessarily change nature. But a heartfelt tefillah does have the ability to change nature. Tefillah has the ability to accomplish what a bracha from an Adam Gadol, from a great person, does not necessarily have the ability to accomplish. Right? Again, the Sfarno writes that very elliptically. It's implied in the Sfarno, but it's very much in the words of the Sfarno over here. right? The power of tefillah is so intense that it can even bring about a supernatural result, even where a bracha from an Adam Gadol, from a Navi, from a Rebbe, whatever it happens to be, is incapable of bringing about that kind of result. So back to the point we made a few moments ago, the Sfarna was basically saying, you can't really have a complaint against Sarah for not believing that the Malach's words would come true. Had Hashem told her directly, you're going to have a child in a year from now, for sure she would have believed it. But she interpreted what the Malach was saying as simply a bracha, as opposed to a shlichus, an agency from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Malach was conveying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was predicting, and not simply giving a bracha. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. When Hashem says, Lomo zetzoch hakasara, the sense in which Hashem says that is not, how is it that Sarah could be so disbelieving as to laugh? It's perfectly understandable why Sarah would laugh, given the assumptions that she made. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing is just relaying to Avraham Avinu that the assumptions are incorrect. Lama zetzoch hakasara? Why is it that Sarah laughed? I know the reason she laughed is because she thought it was simply a bracha, but she was not correct in that. Hayipole me Hashem dover. Can anything be beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Explains the Sfarim, Shehamalach lo omer ze altsad bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to Avraham Avinu, you have to understand what the Malach was saying. The Malach wasn't simply giving a bracha. Avol diber kemevaser bishmo. The Malach was speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not a criticism of Sarah, it's a correction of Sarah, because Sarah made her statement without understanding the correct assumptions, or she had incorrect assumptions when she made the statement. Now, Sarah denies laughing. Now, that would seem to certainly be an indictment of Sarah. It's one thing for Sarah to laugh because she didn't have the right assumptions, but to deny that she laughed, to lie... How do we square that with the image we have of Sarah Imenu? So here too, the Sfarno can't soften it entirely, but he softens it to an extent. It says that Sarah denied having laughed ki yoreya because she was afraid. What was she afraid of? So the Sfarno writes, ki yoreya lomar chatosi. She was afraid to verbally articulate the words, I sinned. Why was she afraid to do that? So the Sfarno doesn't elaborate. You know, perhaps she was afraid of Avram. Maybe that's what the Sfarno means. Or perhaps, in a sense, she was afraid of herself. What do I mean by that? You know, sometimes people are afraid to say something out loud because they can't admit to themselves that they did something wrong. That's why it's such an important part of tshuva to engage in vidui, to engage in confessional. Why do I have to get up and say, Oshamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu? Just think it to yourself. I mean, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway, right? Why do I need to articulate it? Why is it that when the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of tshuva, he formulates it in terms of the mitzvah to be misvada, to verbally confess my sins? What's the big deal if I don't confess them verbally? Let me just think to myself that I want to do tshuva. Why is it so important to do vidui? The answer at least might be that sometimes we find it hard to admit to ourselves that we've made a mistake. Sarah erred. It's clear in the psukim that she erred. But the Sfarno softens the degree to which she erred. But the Sfarno says, she was afraid to say out loud, to verbalize the statement, chatasi, that I sinned. You know, I should have thought more about what this malach was and who he was and who he was representing before I was dismissive. But adds the Sfarno, aval hirhara tshuva beliba. Sarah internally had thoughts of tshuva. Internally, she realized that she had made a mistake, and she did tshuva, she repented internally. So again, the Sfarno is giving us the most positive image of Sarah Imenu, you know, that we can fit into the psukim. Right. Right. So the truth is, I think on some level that's why she didn't even want to admit chatasi, because you know you can tell yourself, what do you mean chatasi? I worked with the assumptions that I had. You know, like, what do you have a taina to me? But I think on a deeper level, so the mistake of Sarah, according to the Svarno, is a very subtle mistake. The mistake basically is, you know, you should have thought that maybe this malach is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're right, it's a subtle mistake. It's a dakis dika mistake, a very, very subtle mistake. And on a certain level, it's the sort of thing that you and I look at and say, hey, we for sure would have made that mistake, right? I mean, forget about it, you know? I mean, the fact that Sarah Imeno even says to herself, I need to do tshuva, is in a certain sense, maybe lifnim yeshuras adin, above and beyond the call of duty, right? In other words, when she's afraid to say chatasi, it's because on a certain level she really says, you know, I'm not sure that I sinned. You can't really fault me for having an assumption which was an incorrect assumption. In any case, though, the Svarno says, but despite not admitting it verbally, she admitted it privately. She did tshuva in her heart. The pasuk then continues, Vayomer lo ki tzachokt. He said, no, you did laugh. Who's he? So it's clear from the Svarno that he is Avram Avinu. Vayomer lo shiyoda ki lo ish el vichazev v'lo hemin lo klal. Avram Avinu, who had had the conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knew that Hashem said, Lomo zet sochako Sarah, so he knew that Sarah had laughed even internally, and says Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't lie to me. He wouldn't make up something that wasn't true. So in other words, she's having this conversation with Avram Avinu, lo tzochakti, right? She says, I didn't laugh. Lo, says Avram Avinu, no, you're wrong. Ki tzachot, you have to recognize that you did laugh, you know, when you heard it. Again, what I'm about to say is not in the Svarno, but I think it's in the spirit of the Svarno's attempts, you know, to try to portray the Avos and the Imos in the most positive light possible, that we're supposed to look at the Psukim and, you know, do whatever we can to be matzdik, to portray the Avos and the Imos in the best possible terms. It's very likely that Sarah herself was not sure herself whether she had laughed, right? In other words, you know, when it says Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba, what happened? It was a few seconds mentally where she had this thought, oh, come on, right? That's what we're talking about. It's not as if laughter even came out of her mouth. We're not talking about something that was actualized. We're talking about a machshava, a thought that she had. So, you know, sometimes you have a thought, and then you convince yourself you never had the thought. I mean, the people convince themselves they didn't do things which they actually did. It's certainly easy for us to convince ourselves that we didn't think something that we actually thought. So Sarah maybe on some level convinced herself that I didn't really, you know, that never happened. So Avraham Avinu says, no, I know that it happened. How do I know what was going on inside your head? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me it was going on inside your head, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't lie. So that's, you know, in the end of the day, we're talking about very, very subtle thoughts that are going on in the head of Sarah Imenu. And, you know, the goal, again, of the Sfarno is to show the Avos and the Imos in the best possible light. Okay, we move on to the Malachim leaving the house of Avraham Avinu and going towards Sdom. Right, the Svarna has an interesting comment on Pasuk Tes Zayin, where it says, "Vayakumu misham ha'anashim, vayashkifu al pnei Sodom." The men got up from there and they looked down at Sodom. What's implied in "Vayakumu misham ha'anashim"? They got up from there. In other words, I think the Svarna was bothered by, you know, why can't the pasuk just say Vayelchu ho'anoshim l'stom? You know, the people went, the malachim went to Sdom. What do you mean Vayokumu misham ho'anoshim? The malachim got up from there. Why such a description? So the Svarno underscores that ponu mi beis hachesed. Avraham Avinu's house was a house of chesed, of loving kindness, of doing chasadim to people. The people, the malachim, picked themselves up. In other words, we're now going to transition in a way which is very, very stark. We're going to go from the house of Avraham Avinu, a house of Chesed, to the place of Sodom, which is the exact opposite. Vayashkifu, they looked, hashkafa l'ra. Here the Svarno quotes the idea which appears in Chazal, that whenever it uses the term hashkafa vayashkifu, they looked down on something, they peered down on something. It always has a negative connotation. They looked at Sodom, shahaya hepech beiso shel Avraham. Says the Svarno, Sodom was the antithesis of everything that the house of Avraham represented. The Avraham, holech imam l'shalchom. Avraham was walking with them, with the malachim, in order to send them on their way. And again, the Svarno seems to be bothered by the question, why even mention this? Right? In a few moments, in the psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to Avraham Avinu and start describing to him how he's going to destroy Sodom. Why do we need to know that Avraham Avinu is walking the malachim out to accompany them? So the Svarno says the whole point is to show you the contrast. Who are your misasek b'mitzvos gemilos chasodim l'lavos sa'orchim? Look at the contrast. Avraham Avinu's whole house is filled up with chesed. He's walking these malachim out to fulfill the mitzvah of being malava them, of accompanying them on their way out. It's the antithesis of everything that Sodom represents. And as the scene is playing itself out, the pasuk says, Hashem Omar, Hashem said, Hamechasa ani me Avraham asher ani oseh. Can I hide, can I cover from Avraham Avinu that which I'm about to do? V'Avraham, hoyo yiyeh l'goy godo v'otzum. Avraham Avinu, after all, says Hashem, is going to be a great and vast nation. V'nivruchu v'o kol goyei ha'aretz. All of the nations of the world will be blessed through him. Ki yedativ, I know him well. He will command his children, his household after him. Vishamu derech Hashem laso stoko mishpat. They will guard the way of Hashem to perform acts of tztaka, of righteousness and mishpat and of justice. Leman havi Hashem al Avraham es asher dibir alav. In order that Hashem brings on Avraham that which he said about him. That last phrase is a little obscure, and we'll come back in a few moments to talk about what it means. What is the meaning of this whole statement by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So says the Svarno the following. Hamechasa ani me Avraham. Should I hide from Avraham Avinu that which I'm about to do? Roy shelo lechasos me Avraham midas tuvi. It's appropriate that I not conceal from Avraham Avinu the goodness and the kindness which I use in running the world, says Hashem. Ula hodio. And it's appropriate to let Avraham know, Shimhoya bein horishoim ezaminyan sadikim, that even if in the midst of Sodom, in the midst of these Rishoim, if there was a certain base number of tzaddikim, shebo tikvas tshuva l'rishoim, enough of a nucleus of tzaddikim that one could hope that they would have an impact on the Rishoim and encourage them to do tshuva, get them to do tshuva. Hoyisi mate kilape chesed laha'arich afilu l'rishoim ulay yoshuvu. That would be enough for me, says Hashem, to spare the Rishoim, because they might do tshuva because of the presence of the tzaddikim. Ki lo yachpots b'mos hames. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to kill the Rishoim, he wants the Rishoim to do tshuva. V'shimibli ein tikvas tshuva yaseh ba mishpat. It's only if there's no hope of tshuva, no hope of repentance, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring justice upon the cities of Sodom. So in this introductory remark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the reason that I'm going to go to Avraham Avinu and discuss with him how I'm going to destroy Sodom is to show Avraham Avinu the extent of my kindness. Now this is a very important remark by the Svarno for the following reason. Very often, when one reads writings about Avraham Avinu's conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about stone, Avraham Avinu is depicted as arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the fate of stone. It's almost as if Avraham Avinu is acting as a defense lawyer for stone. You know, will you destroy them if they're 50 tzaddikim? Will you destroy them if they're 45 tzaddikim? If they're 40? He's negotiating, as it were, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to figure out at what, you know, how low can I get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is ready to spare the cities of stone. Right? So Avraham Avinu is oftentimes portrayed as arguing with Hashem. We'll see that the Sfarno is going to take a very different approach to the conversation that Avraham Avinu has with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avraham Avinu isn't arguing with Hashem. Again, that would be somewhat inconsistent with the way the Sfarno is looking at the Avos and the Imos. You don't argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you what he's going to do. You don't. The same Avraham Avinu, people sometimes ask the question, how could Avraham Avinu argue when it came to stone, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go sacrifice your son, and Avraham Avinu says nothing? At least according to the Sfarno, the answer to that question is as follows. Avraham Avinu did not argue with Hashem when it came to stone. As we'll see, the conversation he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Avraham Avinu trying to discover how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. It's not questioning Hashem. The things that Avraham Avinu asks of Hashem are not challenging questions. They're inquisitive questions. Could you tell me what would happen if there are only 45 tzaddikim, if there are only 40 tzaddikim, if there are only 30 tzaddikim, whatever it happens to be? The stage for that is set by this Sfarno. Because this Sfarno is saying, when Hashem says initially, I want to tell Avraham Avinu what I'm going to do with stone, the reason Hashem is doing that is not, I want to let Avraham Avinu know how I'm going to destroy stone, but rather, I want to let Avraham Avinu know how I would spare stone if there were enough tzaddikim. So in other words, it's not as if Avraham Avinu is the one bringing up the 45, the 40, the 30, whatever it happens to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the conversation to go in that direction, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reveal to Avraham Avinu how ready Hashem is to spare stone if there would be enough tzaddikim in order to bring the rest of the city back to tshuva. Right? So that puts a very different spin on the conversation between Avraham Avinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that idea powers some of the successive phrases in the Psukim. Hashem says in Pasuk Yuches, how can I not tell Avraham Avinu? How can I not tell Avraham Avinu how ready I am to spare the people of Sdom if there are enough tzaddikim? Avraham Avinu is going to be a great nation. So what? What's that got to do with Hashem's readiness to spare Sdom? So says the Sfarno, Ulioso l'neis amim rabim. Since many nations are going to look up to Avraham Avinu and see him as a great figure, Tia tochachto rabas hatoelis. If Avraham Avinu admonishes people, it means that admonition is going to have an impact because people respect Avraham Avinu. They look up to Avraham Avinu. Meaning what? So Hashem says to Avraham, let me share with Avraham how tzaddikim in a city can make a difference. If there are enough tzaddikim, they can bring back the Rishoyim and get them to do tshuva. Because Avraham Avinu himself will be in a position in which he can influence others, so he should realize the koach, the power that somebody has to get people to do tshuva. And the pasuk then goes on to say in Yotes, ki yadativ, says Hashem, I know Avraham Avinu l'man yitzave es bonov, that he will command his children. Says the Sfarno, Hashem says, I will share all of this information with Avraham Avinu. Why? When Avraham Avinu sees how kind Hashem is even to the Rishaim, how he's ready to set up a situation to spare Rishoim when there's a possibility, a strong possibility that they'll do tshuva, That's an important idea which Avraham Avinu is going to pass on to his own children. And then we have that last phrase in the pasuk, "Leman havi Hashem al Avraham es asher diber alav," in order that Hashem should bring in Avraham Avinu that which he said about him. But what does that phrase mean? So explains the Sfarno as follows: Hatachlis ha'acharon ha'mechuvan bozeh, the point which Hashem has in mind by sharing with Avraham Avinu the extent of Hashem's chesed, how Hashem is ready to go the extra mile to spare even Rishayim if there's a chance that they'll do tshuva, he wants to share that with Avraham. Why? Lahavi al Avraham es asher diber ba'amro liyos l'chol elokim l'zarecha acharecha. At the end of last week's parsha, when we had the bris between Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bris that's symbolized by the bris milah, as we emphasized last week, the whole point, the major point of that bris, was that Avraham Avinu would be charged to teach the future generations about these ideals of Yiddishkeit. That's what we spoke about last week, based on the Rabbi Akiva Eger, that Talmud Torah and the bris milah are two mitzvahs which are tied together in a very, very fundamental fashion. So Avraham Avinu's mission, as charged by him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to teach the next generation. What should he teach the next generation? Teach them how Hashem is a Baal Chesed. Teach them how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will spare even Rishaim if there's a chance that they'll do tshuva. L'man havi Hashem al Avram, es asher diber alav. This whole conversation about Sdom, initiated by Hashem, is to show Avram the Darchei Chesed, the incredible kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such that Avraham Avinu can fulfill Hashem's promise of teaching the future generations about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow with the actual conversation surrounding the cities of Sdom, and we'll see again the Sfarno's unique approach to all of these parshios as described in the Chumash. Rabbi Chananu